that thing. When Becker here, Rabbi Becker, I think, asked me, I think Rabbi Becker about this week, a few days ago, to speak. So like always, I had no idea what to speak about. But either Baruch Hashem or not Baruch Hashem, something happened in the yeshiva that got me somewhat upset. Wasn't in this yeshiva, it was in the whole giant yeshiva. And so I wanted to speak about it. But I'm not going to tell you what it was till the end of the speech. But so those who want to go to sleep and they want to hear what I got upset about, they'll have to wake up for the end. Okay. Basically, there's a pasuk in the parsha. Start with the parsha. It says, Hashem tells Moshe to take truma, and a pasuk gimel, v'zois ha-truma. This is a truma, asher tikkel, that you're supposed to take, peitam, zahav is gold, kesef is silver, nechoshes is copper. Thank you. So there is a question that the Mefarshim asks, that usually we have a rule that we work our way up. Lo zu af zu. Yes, mine and begaydish. Thank you. We say that. Okay. We say achmin achmin chaviv. Many different expressions. So really, the Torah should have put the converse order. Should have said nechoshes. Not only nechoshes, copper, but even kesef, and even zav. But it has the inverse order. So they quote from the Chassam Sofer, he says a very, very beautiful answer. But before I read the Chassam Sofer, over the Chassam Sofer's answer, I want to say a story, which is really the Chassam Sofer's answer. The story is here, is found in the next Mar Makom. It comes from a sefer, Moiris HaGedolim. Moiris HaGedolim is a sefer that's basically a stories about the Gedolim of the Bali Musar. It was written by Rav Zaitchik, something that when I knew in Eretz Yisrael. It's translated in English, called Sparks of Musar, those who might have the English. They consider it a pretty chashuva sefer. They say Rav Moshe used to read the Sefer, which is pretty amazing. When I was in high school, I went to visit Staten Island, yeshiva, and I now remember they were learning Sefer Moiris HaGedolim there. So it's a pretty chashuva Sefer. That was like 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago. Anyway, Pam Achas, Meshivto Bekau Yireyim Zalmidav. So one time, I'm reading where it says Yud Zayin, that Rabbi Yisrael was sitting with his Talmidim. Sipralos Shnei Sipurim. They told him two stories. Aleph, the first story was Sha'admor. Admor means like some Hasidish Rebbe usually. Adonainu Moreinu V'Rabbeinu with Rashi Tevis. Mufur, some famous Rebbe. Nodav, he gave a donation. Aseres Alofim Shkodim. So apparently a very large amount of money, Livnos Beis Medrash. And he gave a very large amount of money to build an entire shul. In other words, he paid the whole thing himself, $1 million, whatever. Very large donation. Okay, that was one story. Everyone in Europe's talking about this. This amazing person gave this donation. Wow. Okay. Second story. Pam achas niknu shnei aniyim. There were two aniyim, avu b'no. They were a father and a son. Godim. They were going from city to city. They didn't have where to live. Know them year to year. They're going from one city to the next, and they came to a base medrash, and they got there on Dinas Esther, and they collected. They made a little money. So the son says to the father, Shivamar and Abenav, let's take some of the money and let's buy some food for after the fast. After all, we're fasting all day. We're fasting all day. So let's, you know, we should have to buy. We collected, Baruch Hashem, we collected some money. Let's go, we'll buy, we'll make ourselves a nice meal to break the fast. So the father said, this is like four lines from the bottom, Lo say today asuda, to break your fast, you don't need anything special. Nuka b'kosho, anything. A little bit of bread, it's good enough. But what we need some money, because at the Megidda, they collect for Machzis HaShekel. And if we're going to spend the money on food, we won't have any money for Machzis HaShekel. So let's be very stingy on the food. Just buy just very, very little food to break our fast. And then we'll have a few pennies left, and we'll be able to give Machzis HaShekel. So these are the two stories. Story number one is it was some individual, obviously a very wealthy individual, who gave $1 million to build an entire shul. The whole thing he underwrited, top to bottom. Story number two, that an ani who needed the money to buy food, he was skimpy on his food, breaking a fast, so he could give 5 cents, 10 cents, a dollar maybe, for Machzis HaShekel. So they told the two stories to Rav Yisrael. So Rav Yisrael said, and that's the last line, Godo v'noe hu asir prashem in arishin. The mitzvah, that the second story, the ani, that they gave their 5 cents to Stucca, was greater than when the millionaire gave the $1 million to build the whole shul. Right? Amazing story. You have two people. One person is giving $1 million, and one person is giving 10 cents to Stucca. Who's doing a bigger mitzvah? So Rav Yisrael said, it depends on the situation. It was harder for the ani to give his 10 cents. To give his 10 cents, he's fasting. He has money for food. So if he's skimping on his food to give Stucca, that's more impressive than the other person who gives $1 million, but he still has another $500,000. Not so impressive, not as impressive. I don't see it is impressive. It's not as impressive. So the Psalm Sofer says, have shot in this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Zov Kesef in Echoshes. It's going up. Because who gives the Zov? The rich people. Who gives the Kesef? Silver. The medium people. Who gives in the Echoshes? The poor person. The staka that the paupers give, that's the one that's the most precious. That's the one that counts the most. Which means, it comes out, is that we live, there's a rule, a very important rule, that we live in what's called an olam hasheker. Olam hasheker means that the world is very dishonest, but it's not that dishonest and lying, it's just misleading. So you go to a yeshiva dinner, and who's the guest of honor? Obviously the guy who goes ahead and gives $1 million. I don't believe there was ever a yeshiva dinner that they honored an ani for giving 5 cents to Stucca. I don't think there ever was, and there ever will be. You go to a chasana. Someone told me they went to a chasana last night. There was every single Rosh Yeshiva from all over America was there. I don't know, every yeshiva. But why? Because a wealthy person was a Baal Stucca. Now, I'm not chas v'shalom saying anything bad about wealthy people who are Baal Stucca, because it happens to be that it is very, very hard to get Stucca. And a person who's wealthy and gets Stucca deserves tremendous, tremendous credit. We think it's not so easy. It's very hard. It's a tremendous hard yetzer hara. There are many wealthy people who do not get Stucca. And those few wealthy people that give tremendous Stucca deserve to be guests of honors, and they deserve to have the Rosh Hashivas to come to their chasanas, and they deserve, because they're tremendous tzaddikim. But the ani who gives 10 cents to Stucca is even a bigger tzaddik. That's what this Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says. Except they never will become guests of honor, because the guests of yeshiva, Guest of Honor is we're not really, there, our purpose in Guest of Honor, to tell you a secret, is not really to honor the person. It's not really the agenda of the yeshiva. Yeshiva has other agendas besides honoring the person. So what comes out is that appearance is not true. It looks like, you look at it from the chitzonius, say, wow, this person's giving $1 million. Oh, this guy, hey, he gave 10 cents, big deal. But when it comes to Shemayim, the person who gave the 10 cents, assuming it was hard for him, assuming he was an ani, and it was difficult, he could be a much bigger tzaddik. That's how he says pshat in the pasuk. Chassam Sofer says that's pshat in our pasuk. Now, that's as far as stucco. What about other things? What about learning Torah? What if you have two people? One person is a genius. His father was a Gadol Hador, right? He grew up in Me'ez Sharim. He was Barrow Park. Okay, I know about Barrow Park. We grew up in Me'ez Sharim. He was 3 years old. His parents took him to yeshiva to learn. His father was a Gadol. His grandfather is a Gadol. All his brothers are learning. Everyone's learning. He never had a television, never had any distractions, right? And he's a genius. Easy for him. He loves learning. It's fun. It's kishmak. He gets a lot of coven. Becomes a tremendous gadol. Now you have another guy. The other guy grows up maybe in it where he's not so smart. He doesn't have the same IQ. He has to work hard to learn. It's not so enjoyable. It's not geschmack. He has to, he doesn't get things so clear. He has to break his head. He doesn't get any coven. Maybe his parents don't even give him so much encouragement. So who's a bigger tzaddik? I don't know. So we have here an amazing Gemara in Bava Basra. The second Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. He heard the Rabbi Yosef prayed the Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yosef was the son of Rabbi Yeshua. Cholish, he got weak. Ingen. Ingen in Berne means that he sort of died or had what's called the near-death experience. So he sort of died. Amr le'avu, my chazes. So he died in this near-death experience. His neshama went up to Shemayim. Then he came back alive. So his father asked him, when your father, who was in Amora, or I believe, so he asked him, what did you see when you were in Shemayim? Amar lo, Olam hafach reisi. I saw the world upside down. El yoinim namata. The people that we respect in this world were not the most respected on the upstairs. V'tachtoinim namayra. And the people that we treat like dirt, you know, the garbage. They're the Maida. So he says, Olam Borei, so that's what you saw is the truth. What about us? What about me? Rav Yeshua, who's an Amora, or could be a Tan, I don't remember. So what about myself, you know? How did I look up there? So, you know, maybe also, even though here I'm a big shot, maybe there I was a Mata. Says, ki heichi de chashmin ha chashmin hasem. You're the same. There and here, all the same. So there's a sefer. Rashi has one shot. I have to admit, Rashi explains this Gemara one way. But there's a sefer, Bir Yosef. Bir Yosef is written by, I believe his name was Rav Moshe Salant. When the yeshiva we went to on one of our Israel trips, we actually went to visit him. Or went to visit the son, who it was put out by Moshe Rabbeinu from his father. We went to the son, put out the sefer. Regretfully, he was nifter already. So he says as follows. He quotes the Or Yisrael. That's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. If you look here on the underneath it, he says each person. I'm going to read it without reading it inside. He says each person has to serve Hashem according to your potential. And therefore, it's kothado, you can have two people. One person might be greater than his friend in Torah or Avodah, but he didn't use his potential. And the other one, he didn't as great as him, but he used his potential. So who's greater? So he says, that's shot in this Gemara. Yosef goes up to Shammai. In this world, obviously the person who we have no way of knowing who used their potential, who didn't use their potential. So we have to respect the Talmid Chacham. Obviously the Talmid Chacham deserves respect, just like we said that the rich person who gives tzedakah deserves tremendous respect, because it's very hard to give tzedakah, even if you're rich. So even a person who's brilliant, it's very hard to become a Talmid Chacham. It's not easy. You see someone who's a Talmid Chacham, even if he's brilliant, he deserves a lot of respect. Because you don't become a Talmid Chacham without working hard. You need Siyata Dishmaya, etc., etc. But it's possible, says Rav Yisrael, that there's another person, just like before the Ani, might even be, it's possible the Ani is a bigger tzaddik. It's possible there's a person that's not such a big Talmid Chacham, that's a bigger tzaddik, because he worked harder. He used more of his potential. So that's what happened here. Yosef goes up to Shemayim, and he sees Olam Hafuch, the person who I thought was the biggest tzaddik in this world. He's, still not there, because they have a tain on him. He didn't use his potential. The person who I thought he was a piece of nothing, what does he know? He's way up there in Shemayim, because he used his potential. Now, some people are the same. His father apparently was a tzaddik in this world. His father was a tremendous tzaddik in Olam Haba. We're not saying everybody. But some people, we don't know. Some people, they change. And therefore, he was just confused by the fact that he saw an Olam Hafach. He saw an upside down world, that the greatest respect was being given to people, to Talmidei Chachamim, who in this world were not getting respect. Now, the Chafetz Chaim takes this one step further. Chafetz Chaim says, that we have a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu was Ana Miko Adam. Ana Miko Adam means that he was humble than every single person in the world. How could Moshe be more humble than everybody else? How could Moshe Rabbeinu think that everybody else in the world might, he didn't say for sure, might be better than me? So the Chafetz Chaim says the same idea. Because Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. So just like we say, someone who has a higher IQ, they're expecting more. Well, Moshe had a higher IQ, not because his brain was smart, higher IQ. But if you go up to Shemayim and you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching you Torah, then you're expecting more. No one else in Klal Yisrael went up to Har Sinai. And nobody else from Klal Yisrael had Hashem teaching them Torah, a private tutor. So Moshe said to himself, of course I know I'm a bigger Talmid Chacham than everybody else. And of course I know that my davening is with more kavana. And of course I know that I do more mitzvahs than anybody else in the world. But I had it easier. I had the best Rebbe. I had a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Am I using my potential? Maybe that schnook over there is using more his potential than I am. There's no way of knowing. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is Ana Miko Adam. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is not sure. He's not sure who in Shemayim is a bigger tzaddik. Of course he knows. Now there's Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't go ahead and say, okay, Mr. Yanko, you go give the shir, because he knew that he's the biggest Talmid Chacham. He knew he has to paskin the shaitas. Obviously, if you're the greatest Talmid Chacham, you got to paskin the shaitas. He knew he had to be the manik. He had to make the decisions. But when it comes to Sidkus, he wasn't sure who's the greatest tzaddik, because there's no way of knowing. Because I don't know whether you use your potential. I don't know if I use my potential. I have no way. So even if Moshe, who is, you're talking about the greatest of the greatest, and you're talking about every single Jew, Moshe was on the Mikol Adam because he's not sure who's greater. Okay, that's the Maariv Mikaimis. What does this have to do with this, what I was upset about? A parent came in from one of our, it happened not from the high school, from one of our multi divisions. We have such a monstrosity of yeshiva here. And they were complaining. What was their complaining? She has a son. She says, I don't even know who her son, never met her. Don't even know. But son, she's a nice boy. He goes ahead and he was actually learning, I think she said during recess in class. And her son is not in the honors program or whatever it's called in the different divisions, honors, whatever. So one of the kids from the honors program took the Sefer away from him and says, you're a guy, you don't have to learn because you're not in the honors program and I'm in the honors program. So you can go ahead. Why should you learn during recess? Who do you think you are? That's not for you. Goyim don't have to learn during recess. It's terrible. This because he's in the honors program and the other kid's not, so I'm a bigger tzaddik. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know for whether he was a bigger tzaddik. If he's a big, he thought that guy might be a bigger tzaddik than I am, right? And that's what the Yeshua tells his son, that it could be that Olam Hafak Raisi, you know, there could be, we don't know who the bigger, you go up to Shemayim, you're going to be in a big surprise who's the bigger tzaddikim. The people that get the guest of honors are not always the biggest tzaddikim. They deserve credit. Obviously, you don't get to be guest of honor if you're a shlump. I agree. And you don't get to be a gadol, you know, a big time chacham if you deserve credit. But the other guy might deserve more credit. There's no way of knowing. So how can you go ahead and make fun of somebody else, especially call him a guy? That's terrible. You make fun of somebody else just because your level of learning is a little bit better. I'm so upset. Why am I telling this to you? Because I have a sefer here. Besides, I needed something to talk about. But there's a sefer here. It's called Imre Das. And he says the following story. I have like 1 or 2 minutes left. He says that Rav Yisrael Salanter was walking in Vilna, and he notices all of a sudden that there are 2 policemen on every corner. They used to always only have 1 policeman on every corner. So he asked the person, he's walking, what's going on? Why all of a sudden they increased the police presence? So he said, because it was just a revolution in France. He said, there's a French revolution. When there's a revolution in France, so in Vilna, their government's nervous because things spread. If there's a problem one place, it spreads. So they have to now, we have to double the police. I know Vilna, I know what country it was, Russia. I assume it was Russia. So we have to double the police presence, or maybe Poland, I don't know. We have to double the police presence in here because of the revolution in France. They said the same thing. They said Rav Yitzchak Ochanan gave a shmooze in Kovna. Rav Yitzchak Ochanan was a Rav of Kovna. And he gave a fire and brimstone speech on the importance of keeping Shabbos. So the people came to him, but Rebbe, we all keep Shabbos. He says, yeah, but in West Europe, there be Mechadol Shabbos. So if there be Mechadol Shabbos over there, then we got to be nervous over here. If you have a fire burning and you don't want it to spread, especially if it's Shabbos and you can't put out the fire, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to pour water around the fire. And then if the fire can't spread. So that's what you have to do. So when there's a fire burning in West Europe, in East Europe, and oh, we can't make the geography, in Western Europe, you have to pour the water in Eastern Europe. So that's what he said. When there's Chilul Shabbos in Germany, then we have to talk about keeping Shabbos in Kovno. And of course, it works the other way. Not only is it a protection, but it actually... from what I see, when you pour the water around, it actually puts out the fire, too. At least for the one time I did it, when we were about to burn down the yeshiva, and it actually put out the fire somehow. So the mice, The Maisa, so we're saying it like this, that it's a terrible thing. The people go ahead and make fun of other people because they think that they're superior. And the Yisoid we have to know is that when it comes to Ruchnius, it doesn't make a difference whether it's Staka or Talmud Chacham or Sidkus, we never know who the greater Tzaddik is. Because you have no way of judging the other person's potential. You have no way of knowing the other person's nisyonos, and therefore no one can ever, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all his greatness, was an ana mikol adam, because he realized that there's a possibility that every single person might be greater. So we can be happy with ourselves. We say, Baruch Hashem, I'm learning. Baruch Hashem, I'm doing mitzvahs. But we cannot allow to go ahead and ever feel that we're superior than someone else, because we don't know. And it's very possible that the other person is superior to us. Okay. Great.
The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was the